The Ocelli Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck Ocelli.
July 19, 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. And this is indeed the show you're looking for. How do I know that? Because you're hearing me babble on as I am doing right now. Anyway, Wednesday, the middle of the week, and it is the Wild Card Wednesday. I do believe the guest I have on tonight has only been on the Wild Card Wednesdays, with good reason. So Rolling Stone, okay, calls my friend Ryan here the loneliest drag queen in America. That's the title of the article. Maybe I'll read from that in a moment, but I find the experience of this individual that sometimes you see online is called Lady MAGA USA. I find their life experience most interesting because a Trump-supporting drag queen. I don't think we use that phrase all that often. I don't think there's an army of this guy out there. Okay. And he is a guy, by the way. He's not a trans woman. He's not on his way to be. No, this is a gay guy who dresses as a woman. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, and goes out as Lady MAGA USA. Now, this is being done on video also, so you'll see it on Rockfin. If you're on Rockfin, how you doing? My apologies for my face, but very soon you'll be looking at Ryan's a lot more, so it'll get easier, folks. Anyway, I find this interesting all the time, and I want to talk to Ryan a little bit about some current events and maybe just the general dynamic once again. It is so interesting to me that he chooses to do this, that he is a conservative of sorts, and yet, well, drag queen, yeah, okay. Is that even a proper term? I don't even know if that's politically correct anymore. Do you guys out there know? I'm not sure. Ryan, or, you know, because you're not dressed as Lady MAGA, so I'm not going to address you as Lady MAGA. It takes you a while to get ready to do that, but I'm more than happy to see you and talk to you. How you doing tonight, my friend?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here. And yes, I am a biological man. I would never claim differently. I do have a flair for the theatrical. We got the Lady MAGA wig over here. You know, I love dress up, but it's a visual defiance of the left to be Lady MAGA USA and go out there and stand up and just basically show the world hair, wigs, makeup, clothing doesn't have anything to do with your biology, and biological women are being erased. And theatrical people like me are, the vast majority agree with me that drag queen story hour and this predatory usage of drag artistry is just out of control, and it's humiliating and embarrassing. So drag queen, I sort of have switched to calling myself a costume artist because, you know, just the word drag queen now has, it's, they ruined it. Just like everything the left touches, they turned it into something filthy, something predatory, something just, constantly sexual. We recently saw one of the queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. RuPaul's a closet conservative, by the way. He just completely sold out in order to run with the trans narrative. Because if you don't, you're canceled and you're excommunicated like I was. But, one of his queens was at a county fair or something like that. And he had an artificial penis and simulated masturbatory things on a stage in front of kids. And I just, that's just blatantly and undeniably evil. And I don't identify with the alphabet, the LGBTQ narrative, and I certainly don't identify with mainstream drag because it's all just gross. It's perverted, it's dirty, and anybody who follows me sees that, you know, I sort of emulate a Barbie persona, a glamorous persona, a silly persona, a fun, magical person. The last thing on my mind is, being sexual. Because it's so easy to be sexual. If I wanted to be provocative and sexy, that would actually be very easy. It takes no talent to be vulgar or sexy or provocative. It takes more talent to try to be enchanting or uplifting or funny or creative or beautiful. You know, anybody can go prance around like a slut. I don't want to.
Right. And, you know, see, now there's an interesting part of the discussion right there. Because, look, I'm not a prude. I don't care if you want to go into an adult club. I mean, look, Ryan, if you were in an adult club and you were doing what you're describing here that RuPaul's, one of his drag queens did, because, of course, he's got the drag race thing and, I don't know, drag stars. I don't know. There's 8 different shows now. RuPaul, right? It's a big thing, but a whole lot of it has been extremely sexualized and all that. It's gotten way away from the pageantry. You know, I look at your character, okay, and I see the old school sort of like beauty pageant contestant is what I'm getting projected at me, which is something that doesn't contain sexuality, that doesn't, you know, have any of that stuff. And, but again, look, if you wanted to go into a club and do that, in front of adults, and adults pay to go into that club, man, have at it all day, okay?
Absolutely. That's, me too. If it's 21 and over, even if I personally find an activity distasteful, I'm libertarian at heart, live and let live. Just don't cross the boundaries of what's appropriate. Don't do it in public in front of kids. Don't do it in children's libraries. Don't do it at the county fair. I don't care what you do in a nightclub. I really don't. But right. They're bringing nightclub sexuality, adults-only content into pride parades. We've all seen the videos of adults literally exposing their genitalia to kids. I believe it was New York City, Seattle. And it goes much deeper than that. I really do think that there is a really sick agenda behind all of this, because by exposing children to this and saying that it's okay – and having all of these LGBTQ sexually explicit books in schools, what they're essentially saying is that children are adults. And by saying children can consent to mastectomies and puberty blockers and hormone blockers and genital alterations, what you're essentially saying is a child is capable of giving consent. Mm. Obviously, that's just a skip. You know, hop, skip, and a jump away from saying that children are capable of all consent. So it really is, it's a terrible attack on the innocence of kids. And the reason I'm so passionate about this is because the kids that they are sexualizing and the ones that they are telling that they're in the wrong body, especially the boys, I was that boy. I know who these kids are. They're the ones like, look, I collect vintage Barbies, okay? Boys are playing with Barbies, and people are telling them, you're in the wrong body. So I just feel like I would have been one of these kids.
And that's where I want to stop you, because this at one time required an adjustment, okay? I'm 51 years old, so I got to tell you that when I was younger, I think there was a need for an adjustment. I think there was a need to let even young kids know that gay people exist, okay? And that, you know, don't be afraid of them. Don't be, you know, I mean, because, look, again, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. So we had the AIDS thing happen, which initially was called gay-related immune deficiency. To my mind, that's how I remember it.
It was gay-related. I will be the first to tell you that that is not a myth. And promiscuity and bathhouses and wanton sexual interactions led to an explosion of AIDS. It doesn't mean that gay people are bad. It means that gay people were being sexually irresponsible, thus it exploded within their community. People don't like it when I say that, but it is a fact.
No, look, and I'm not going to argue with you on that, but what I would say is that at a certain point, there needed to be a conversation that said, look, just because somebody's gay doesn't mean they're evil, because there was an evil attachment to this automatically. And I've known plenty. I've got people in my family, et cetera, that I know are not evil. Okay. I think sometimes they're a little misguided, and sometimes it's usually for political reasons, but that's, you know, but I can find that anywhere, whether they're gay, straight, or whatever. It doesn't matter. My point is, though, that there was a need for an adjustment at one point. And I could even tell you personally that I went through a hard time because I had been assaulted as a child, and my interpretation of that was this was a gay person that assaulted me. Now that's not correct, okay? Because a gay person is not automatically a pedophile. You try and explain that to some people in the South, they don't believe you. Nowadays, I am starting to understand why they say that, but they've always said it. And it took me a while to reason through that, okay? I'm just being blunt with you, because to me it was like, if a boy wants to have sex with me and I'm a boy, they must be gay. That was my simple definition. And as a six-year-old, you can't expect me to really define it any differently. So for a while, I was angry and felt as though they were all predatory. It took me a while to learn. And I think that that conversation needed to be had among my peers in my generation. I think that was necessary. This isn't me being a bleeding heart liberal. I think this was about just not necessarily being tolerant, but being in a position where you understand there are realities in the world that whether you're comfortable with them or not, you're not there to judge everybody. And as long as they're not interfering with your life, you know, the principle of non-aggression, then you have no reason to show them aggression. Again, it was a hard thing for me to reason personally, but I got through that. And I think there were a lot of guys in my age group that needed to get through that for various reasons. Okay. But now we move past it. Okay. We're past the 80s. We're past the 90s. Things have changed. Things have changed and gone. This is the time of overcorrection that I think is not special in the realm of sexual identity or, see, and I don't even know what the proper term to use is anymore. It used to be sexual identity. I don't think that's right anymore. You know, and very confusing because there was a time period there where it was very taboo still. In the 70s, still, it was very taboo, et cetera. Then it became almost like a trendy thing, but only if you were a girl. Right. And, you know, and nowadays.
Well, now sexual identity. There, I'll just say this openly. One, I really appreciate your honesty. I'm sorry about what happened to you. My response to that is, a child abuser like that is a child abuser. A consenting adult homosexual or lesbian is an adult. So there's bad apples in all groups of people, straight, gay, you know? And so I do agree that we definitely had to say, look, your gay neighbors, like my ex-husband and I, we were the perfect neighbors, you know, handsome couple, kept things nice, made the world a better place. The gay couples who gentrified ghettos and opened, you know, boutiques and things like that, they're good people. So we had to acknowledge that. But the thing is, we did do that. We did overcome the stereotypes. Gay people were just living their lives. We had moved on from the hatred and the division. And your average person didn't care that their hairstylist was a homosexual or that their neighbors were lesbians driving a Subaru, because they'll help you plant your garden or fix your roof. But now there is a very massive and alarming swing of homophobia. I hate using that term because it sounds victim-y. But it's true. People like me, especially a drag artist like myself, I'm facing backlash that just wasn't there 10 years ago. And it's, I don't even blame people for it, because what are they seeing? They're seeing this predatory LGBTQIA alphabet mafia. And when I call them the mafia, I use that word very deliberately. It is an aggressive movement that is not about tolerance and inclusion. It's about cultural dominance. It's their way or the highway. You will agree to trans surgeries for kids, or we will remove your child from the home. You will use the pronouns, or you will be arrested for hate speech. So we are unfortunately, this LGBTQ mafia is fulfilling every single slippery slope prophecy that all the anti-gay people had from the beginning. And that is why it is so essentially critical for gay men like me and artists like me to speak out and help us once again differentiate between dignified adult consenting gay people and creative types who like to dress up and whatever, and this new recruitment movement, because gay, no one says gay anymore. You'll never find the word gay. It's LGBTQ. So you have to identify as all of those letters in order to find relevance in the queer community. And queer doesn't even mean homosexual. So what does this tell us? This tells us it's about recruitment of the people who used to just be the people who shop at Hot Topic. It's about You know, it's about recruitment of anyone who is a lot of autistic people. It's recruitment of the nerds. It's recruitment of the fat girls. It's recruitment of the misfits, because the ever expanding alphabet, non-binary, doesn't mean anything. But suddenly they're lumped into this hyper-sexualized predatory movement, and now they're non-binary, so they're recruited into this stupid thinking that a girl can't be tough or you know, dress with short hair and be outdoorsy without identifying with the male gender. And a guy, you know, in the 80s, the eyeliner, all the earlys, was it new wave kind of punk people in the 80s? They were rebellious. They played with clothing and hair and makeup, but there was never a push that they are, in fact, the opposite gender. Right. And so gay men are being erased. It's not as dangerous for gay men to be erased as it is for lesbians and women to be erased, because historically and biologically, men are more predatory than women, and men are more able to defend ourselves. But women, if they're being invaded and taken over by biological men, many of them straight men in their sacred women's spaces, lesbians are the ones who are sort of leading the way, you know, like gays against groomers, because they fought for a long time to have their independence as gay women. And now they're being told that they should date a man, so confusing. Lesbians are being told that they need to date a woman with a penis, and gay men are being told that we need to date a man with a vagina. And genitalia, having a genital preference, is transphobic. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is identical to conversion therapy in the evangelical South. You need to be attracted to a vagina. You need to date women. And the LGBTQ is saying the exact same thing, only calling that biological woman a trans man. So hypocrisy is the name of the game. They have just gone completely out of control. And to be honest, you know, I have played the, oh, you know, we hate them game, and been pretty rude in a lot of stuff. But my heart goes out to these confused people, especially the young people who are being recruited into this movement. The lifestyle, the attitudes, and making their whole identity this alphabet will lead them to nothing but misery. And if they do take the trans route, they will internally regret it. My personal belief is that your very soul, your very biological body rejects what you are doing to it, because, you know, they say, you can't accept me for who I am. No, sweetheart, you can't accept you for who you are, and you've been lied to. And if you want to dress up and wear makeup, do it. Do it. So,
yeah, because look, I knew guys in the 80s and 90s who were wearing makeup and, you know, fingernail polish and all that kind of stuff. And they were, you know, they called themselves goths or industrial musicians. They had a couple of different names and whatnot. But believe me, they were wearing makeup and hair products and, yeah, you know, and stuff like that, and capes. You know, pretty much to me, almost like dressing like a woman. Look, I had long hair for a while, but not very long when I was alive. Long hair was supposed to be a gay thing, which I always found strange, because any gay guy I ever saw usually had short hair. I don't know. But it was weird to me. I got long hair now. But I mean, I'm just saying, gotta be, and it is tough to get it under the wig. I know that, because I played Santa Claus. I never did drag, but I played Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And I had to wear the white wig. Anyways, yeah, it's a whole weird thing. I was a mall Santa. Maybe I'll tell that story on the show one day.
Oh, I love that.
But yeah, and then I did other stuff too. But all right. Anyhow, look, it's confusing though, especially to a guy like me. Okay. I feel as though it's not just endangering one community or the other. I think it's literally destructive to everybody, because how do you sort all this out? This is so confusing to me. You know, it's like if okay, and this is going to, maybe I'm going to be offensive or rude here. I'm going to do it anyway.
I think you can, I think could never offend me. I'm Lady MAGA. I deal with everything all day, every day.
Cool. But here's the thing. I understood. Okay, here's gay. All right. And gay could be male or female. Either way, gay is gay. All right. And then maybe you like men and women, so therefore you're bisexual.
Yeah.
Okay. But what else is there? There's either, you know, and straight, I know, is no longer, you're supposed to use that or whatever. I don't know if cisgender is still used, or, you know, you're a guy who likes girls, or a girl who likes guys.
Cisgender is just a way of saying we acknowledge biological realities.
Okay. Fair enough.
Trust me, I'm just as confused as you are as all the definitions expand.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I'm at a point where it's like, well, what is gay or queer? You see, queer used to equal gay, mm-hmm. all right, and now it doesn't. And I get it, okay, maybe queer could be somebody who acts like they're gay. And I've seen that, by the way, as a guy who pretty much acts sort of like you would, you know, stereotypically gay, but is not gay, actually. I've seen that. It used to be rare. It's becoming less rare, but an odd thing where a guy acts a little bit feminine. But he's still a straight guy. He's still into women. And I've seen women who are kind of, bushy. They're kind of manly. They got a deep voice. They're a little bit tough, and they like men. I've seen. But it didn't necessarily define you. Now, if you're one of those things where, you know, you seem to be acting almost like gay and you're not gay, then you're one thing. Maybe you're queer. Maybe you're not queer. If you have a curiosity, you're queer. It's so confusing. And meanwhile, they add all these other things in where it's like, you know, what is a pansexual? What is a this and that? I mean, it just made most sense to me. Like, look, there is a specialness to you're straight, you're gay, you're bi. And that pretty much covered everything unless you have, you know, two sets of genitals, and that happens once in a while biologically. Maybe that's another category.
It has nothing to do with homosexuals. That's another example of recruitment. These are people with a medical condition. They have two genitalias. They have been thrust into the alphabet narrative because they're always looking for a new victim narrative. We have to understand that the gay and lesbian thing was essentially over. Nobody cared. And so how do you gain money and how do you gain power with a narrative that no one cares about anymore? No one cared about their gay brother or their lesbian aunt. Mm-hmm. So they have to say, what new victim narrative can we focus on? Obviously, it's the transgender. The T dominates everything. And even more so, the transgender children. Because it's so politically advantageous for them on the left to present themselves as the saviors of vulnerable children. Doesn't that sound nice? Trans youth matter. Protect trans kids. Trans children exist, whatever. So using the word children is very advantageous politically, and they're winning because, you know, presenting themselves as the saviors when in reality they're actually advocating the literal destruction of these children. So that's kind of like Planned Parenthood. Instead of just using the word abortion, they have to say women's health care. Who doesn't care about women's health care? So trans youth awareness, all these nice things are just another way of saying we're trying to push adults-only procedures on little children, like mastectomies and massive hormone drugs that they will be hooked on for the rest of their lives. So that's one. And two, Big Pharma never has been and never will be our friend. And the hormone industry is a $1 billion industry. If you look at the statistics of transgenderism, so to speak, from 2000 until now, once the woke explosion led by Trump derangement syndrome began in about 2016, there has just been a massive, we're talking massive increase of people identifying as trans. And, of course, a massive increase in high schools and junior highs of kids. I think it's like 1 in 3 kids identifies as a member of the LGBTQ community, because in order to be a part of that community, to be seduced by their recruitment, all you have to be is a boy who likes nail polish. Oh, I'm non-binary. See, now you're part of it. Now they got you. Now they sucked you into this sexualized LGBTQ inappropriate narrative instead of saying you're a rebel. You know, you paint your nails. You're a rock star, man. Cool.
Okay, no, and that's non-binary. a strange thing because when I was a kid in school, right, I the honest percentage was one or two out of every 100 kids was probably could go into that basket. Okay, they might have been lesbian, they might have been gay, they might have been bi. Truthfully, one out of 100, two out of 100. That's what I observed. Okay, you know, I graduated high school in 1991, so in the 80s, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
And when I explain this to younger people now, I get, you know, thrashed a bit. Oh, well, you just don't understand. You're very ignorant because all of these people used to have to hide, you see. And now they don't have to hide.
No.
And I said, well, you know, in some places maybe they did, and I get that, okay? But where I was in New Jersey, nobody needed to hide. It just was what it was. Nobody was – New York, nobody cared. Okay, it was fine. You noticed them, yes, but that was it. It was like, well, that's, yeah, okay. So what? It wasn't a big deal. They go, no, they were under threat. You don't understand. And I go, okay, maybe that's true, but this is an explosion. This is a huge percentage of these young people. And in reality, again, look, I've got tattoos. We don't let young kids get tattoos. Why? Because they're permanent. You go doing hormone therapies, people go, well, look, they can stop, they can start. But no, see, during adolescence, you're developing things like your bone density and stuff like that, which can get challenged. And this is scientific fact. This is not my opinion. It's scientifically, if you give, you know, a female hormones to a boy, you're screwing with their bone density. And I believe it goes the other way around, too. It messes with their density when you're giving them the opposite hormone from what they're assigned at birth. It does mess with stuff like that. And there's other things that are happening during adolescence. You know, neurological development is occurring.
That's not your opinion. It's not my opinion. That is fact. That is reality. If you pause a young person's pubescent process, you are affecting their body for life. Yes, they can go off the drugs at 17, but what is their genitalia going to look like? What is their Adam's apple going to look like? What about their height? What about their width? What about everything else? And of course, a child cannot consent to such dramatic bodily alterations. So, the other thing that's so crazy, if you look at a commercial for, let's say, Lunesta sleep aids or even a painkiller or asthma medication, at the end of the commercial, they always speed read the side effects. And in a magazine, you see a nice picture of someone with a puppy and then you turn the page. And the entire page is filled with the consequences. All of these side effects and consequences, for some reason, I don't know how, are completely hidden from the public. Planned Parenthood put out an adorable little video, cartoony, cute, obviously aimed at children. A girl looked in the mirror and she saw herself as a boy, meaning short hair and different clothes. Mm-hmm. And they go through the whole puberty blockers as if it's sunshine and sparkles and fun day at Disneyland without listing the consequences. So the more people investigate the realities, the more they realize how terrible it is. The problem is doctors and medical professionals who speak out against this are shut down. They are labeled transphobic. They are at best shadow banned, at worst fired from their careers. You know, doctors and rational people now have to sign on the dotted line that they will use they, them pronouns, meaning that an individual person can be plural. They're getting us to accept nonsensical things, just like happened in the COVID pandemic. You know, mask your kids, wear a mask, keep everybody safe, get the jab. We're in the worst crisis in history. And everybody just ran with it and went for it. And it's the emperor's new clothes. We all know that swimmer with a penis and body muscle winning the competition against the girl next to him who is half his size was a man who should not have been in that competition. But like the emperor's new clothes, everyone is saying, oh, look at his beautiful cloak. Look at his beautiful shoes. The emperor's clothes are so amazing because everybody was too afraid to say that he was naked. That's what's happening with these men presenting themselves as women. And it's See, the more they can get the public to accept nonsense and lies and outright just farcical things like Dylan Mulvaney going to the White House speaking on behalf of women. What's next? I mean, what else can they convince us of? My personal belief is chip in our bodies, digital currency, social credit scores. It's for your safety. We care about the community. This is to protect the vulnerable. You're a bad person if you don't want the digital chip, so we know that the community is safe, right? Like, we're being socially programmed to accept nonsense. And unfortunately, globally and right here in America, America falls for it every single time. And nobody says anything.
Yeah, and that's the bizarre thing, because again, it doesn't just undermine the identity of the LGBTQ alphabet soup. It undermines, like you said, women in general, and women did have to struggle. Okay, again, it's not real recent history, although some people would tell you it's still going on, and maybe it is on some level, okay. But either way, women had to struggle to assert themselves in a certain way. Their identity as women is being undermined by this kind of stuff. I don't understand how nobody can see that this is not destructive on all sides, because there is no clear definitions. It makes no sense to just mix everything together. And, you know, like, at the end of the day, how do you even have any, you know, because they say, you know, your identity is important, your identity is important. But even going back to the children, how about you give them some time to explore and experiment? You know, that used to be a thing when I was a kid. Well, you're going to explore. You're going to experiment. You're going to go through different things. You're going to think one way about things for a while and then think another. Well, yeah. What about that, too? Okay, so let the girl cut her hair short. Let her shave her head. Let the kid, the guy, grow his hair long. Let him put on the fingernails.
Let him play with Barbies.
Let him play with the Barbies, whatever. Maybe he likes it. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he ends up, you know, being Lady MAGA USA too. Maybe he ends up not. And maybe he ends up looking like me. I don't know, because you can never tell. Kids go through stages, and they do explore. They do experiment. They are not. See, that's the thing. How are you, like, I'm not asking you, because you're not one of these people. But, I mean, the big question is, how can you say that this is a good idea to allow something which does permanent effects on a child in this case? You don't want them to reproduce, because that's a very long-term commitment. You don't want them to get, you know, ink on their skin, hell of a hard thing to get rid of. You don't want to let them make all these other decisions because they have long-term consequences, right?
Yeah.
Well, how is it that the hormone therapy doesn't have long-term consequences? Again, not my opinion. Scientifically, it does things and changes. It alters their future. It's a guarantee. So, like, it's not about liberal, conservative. It's about, to me, well, what, you don't want to trust the science on this? Because that's what it sounds like to me. It's scientifically impossible to inject all of these hormones into an adolescent creature. Doesn't matter if it's a human, a dog, anything. Adolescent creature, you inject hormones into them, you are changing them because they are still in development. That's a guarantee. So I don't see how, if you look across zoologically and across humanity, how you can deny this. I mean, I didn't understand how it is they got the, you know, the psychotropic drugs into kids and all that, and that's yet another story. I think that was, I hate to say this, that was the gateway to this, is all those psych meds that they started giving 7-year-olds and 6-year-olds, you know, well, they need it for this and they need it for that and they need to pay attention and, oh, they're depressed and now we're giving them, you know, Prozac and whatever. And when I was a kid, you couldn't do that because they knew that neurologically they were too early in development and you could alter their brain chemistry permanently with this stuff. So they didn't do it. And then, poof, the political decisions made, you can. And this is the same thing here. This should be a scientific thing where it's like, look, this can do damage. If you want to show me where it improves somebody's life, okay, show me that. But here's the thing. It's guaranteed to make an alteration, and I'm certain that there has not been enough of a study to show that there is positive reactions to this, although you do see some people come out and go, oh, I've been doing this since I was 12, and now I'm in my 20s, and I'm very happy. But equally, you can find stories of people that are very disappointed, very upset, and have changed their minds later in life, too.
the detransitioners. They are silenced. They are kicked off of social media. So it depends on how far you want to go down the rabbit hole and look at the bigger picture of what, because what is happening to these children is just undeniably evil. It's evil. And so what evil forces are out there in the world? What evil agenda is being accomplished by rendering children infertile? One, depopulation. The globalists, whatever you want to call them, deep state, you know, Illuminati, whatever people want to call them. There are those who are in power behind the scenes. This is an obvious thing that happens. And there is an agenda to depopulate the planet. Kamala Harris just did a slip and said something about our goal is clean energy, depopulation, blah, blah, blah. So by rendering children infertile, you're wiping out a heck of a lot of children. So that's one agenda behind it. The other is it just completely how do you destroy the American family? How do you destroy the family unit of mother, father, traditional? I'm gay, whatever, but I'm not stupid enough to deny that the traditional family is the backbone of society. I wouldn't be here without it, and nobody would. There's room for gay people. We're fine. We're over that. But how do you destroy the family unit? Well, you start by altering the definition of a man and a woman and a mother and a father. And both of those definitions have been completely decimated. We have birthing people now. We have men who breastfeed. And so by confusing the children and erasing factual biological realities, you are, in effect, destroying them emotionally, socially, and morally. So I think it goes, Rules for Radicals, the Hillary Clintons out there, they don't think in the short term. They never have. Conservatives tend to think now and tomorrow. They don't. They have gradually conditioned us, starting with the New Deal. I mean, you know, for the encroachment of socialism and these, what do they call them? Social contagion is very real. And so if you have a child who doesn't know what a man is, they don't know what a woman is, and their only identity is based off of something that is created by taking drugs and based in sexuality, they don't have any authentic self-esteem. They don't have any authentic ambition. And like getting kids on all these drugs that you're talking about, these kids on these hormones, I mean, I've met a lot of trans people, and no offense, but none of them are emotionally balanced because, in my opinion, it is entirely impossible for a biological man to pump himself full of estrogen and be mentally sound. Even a man who takes too much testosterone becomes a nut job.
Yeah. I was just going to say that because right?
They go crazy. Yeah. So hormonal imbalances create mental illness, so to speak. And a woman, I've known trans women identifying as men, adult trans people, and I've seen them get in fights. Most of them are very vitriolic. They are up. They are down. They are on antidepressants. They are suicidal. They're all over the place. In spite of what they portray on social media, I've seen behind the scenes, and it is because you are a woman pumping yourself full of testosterone. Naturally, you're going to become overtly aggressive and emotional and upset because you're pumping your body full of something that truly doesn't belong there. It's a dangerous thing to do to your body. I do believe in an adult's right to do what they want with their body. But it's just obvious that you're going to, so again, creating a population that denies biology, mother, father, man, woman, God, decimated. And now we've got you hooked on drugs through big pharma, so you're mentally ill and you're not reproducing. And on top of all of this, with the alphabet agenda, with the trans agenda, comes 100% complete and total Marxism. There you have it. A recipe for a stupid, drugged up, confused, depressed, suicidal population that's easy to control.
See, now, but what would you say to somebody, and this would be the last thing I throw at you, and it's a little hard, but I guarantee that somebody said this to you before, so again, I'm not worried about offending you anyway, because
it's impossible to offend me.
Exactly, so I'm going to throw it at you hard, all right? It's real simple. What would you say to somebody who says, look, you know what, you're being self-destructive to yourself here, because at one time, being gay, hey, that was considered a mental disorder, right? And it was. And I get it because, look, honestly, scientifically, it made a little bit of sense to me because you're talking about an organism not behaving in a way that propagates said organism, right? Generally speaking, two men not going to make a baby, all right? Two women not going to make a baby.
Not generally speaking, speaking truth. You're spilling the tea. It is absolutely true. Two men cannot create a baby.
not without one of these, you know, stay tuned, though. They're working on it, right?
Oh, my God.
You know that, but anyway, look, back to reality for the way it is now. Somebody might say to you, look, you know, at one time you would be considered to be somebody with a mental disorder. Do we need to go back to that? Do we need to go back to a time when, you know, no, there's no gay either? You know, does it all need to go? I don't think so. I think it was pretty simple when, again, I had it kind of nailed down finally at a certain point in my life where it was like, look, there are straight people, there are gay people, and there are people that kind of go both ways. Sometimes they go one way, sometimes they go another, and you never know. And you know what? I don't have a right to tell anybody anything. Matter of fact, I'd seen people who half their life they spent sort of on one side of the fence and half their life they spent on the other. Okay?
Yeah.
A really sweet girl.
I know exactly what you're saying. Here I am, homosexual, who in the past was attacked for being mentally ill, unnatural, against God, destroying the family, everything that I'm saying right now. So I absolutely see where you're coming from. I guess where I would, my best explanation would be that I am not trying to recruit or say that homosexuality is the equivalent of a heterosexual couple. It is, in fact, not. Even when it comes to adopting children, should a crack baby have a chance in a home with two nice lesbians? Sure, I'm not against it. Right. But the ideal is for a child to have a mother and a father. So, I guess that's where I'm kind of different from the trans movement, because they are literally saying a trans woman is the equivalent of a biological woman. So that would be one. Homosexuality, I do not know why it exists. I do not know where it comes from. There are a lot of different theories, and I've explored pretty much all of them, but we don't have a definitive explanation or answer as to why homosexuals exist. For me, it is what it is. Fought it for a long time. I went to conversion therapy, and I just felt like trying to marry a woman and stay Mormon would have been a disservice to that woman. She deserves somebody who wants to motorboat her melons, you know? Like, she needs somebody who's not just going to love her as a sister and a best friend. Women deserve to be ravished and loved and adored and sexual and all those things, you know? So I just concluded that it is what it is. And I also, in spite of the biological explanations and whatnot, I do believe that gay men, when we live our lives on a certain frequency, we do have a special gift to offer this world. We tend to be more creative. We tend to be more artistic. You know, all the Broadway musicals that you love, most of the songs were written by gay men. Painting, art, architecture. And especially, we have a sacred mission that I believe comes from God to be the man in the lives of many women. My best friend is a woman who lost her husband a little while ago, and I'm basically her gay husband. I am the man in her life, not romantically, not sexually, but I have been given that sacred opportunity time and time again as a gay man to be the man in a woman's life, the misfit women who don't have the perfect picket fence story, who may never get married, who are maybe, you know, severely overweight and are ignored by straight men. So I hate the term, but people will often call that fag hags. I really hate that term because as a gay man, you do have a very special role. And like in my family, I'm the youngest of eight children. As my mother was dying, it came to me to be there for her and take care of her. And I took her bedroom from upstairs. She couldn't go upstairs anymore, so I took it from upstairs. We had to make the laundry room her bedroom. You better believe that laundry room was just the most magical and immaculate, wonderfully organized bedroom. So I think we do have a purpose, and I think God's going to explain that purpose after we die. I am Christian. I pray to Jesus, whatever. I don't understand the mystery of homosexuality, and I digressed. So don't know why it exists. Can't justify it biologically, because two women, you know, having sex does not make biological sense. It is an aberration of human biology. I guess the difference is if let's say I'm an evangelical and I say trans is bad and Ryan Gay, Lady MAGA is bad, I guess you kind of have to say, okay, well, there are tiers of sin, you know. Stealing flowers from a tree in a public park is stealing. Stealing someone's wallet and their identity is another level of stealing. So if they want to look at if they want to categorize things as evils, two consenting homosexuals, adults living their best life, living monogamously, is not going to be detrimental to society. A trans person trying to enter women's sports is detrimental to women. And the other just huge difference between what I'm saying about the trans radicalism and what people in the past would say about homosexuals is I am not doing anything that physically and mentally alters my body. I am not taking massive amounts of mind-altering drugs and expecting to be treated as though I'm not completely on drugs, hormonal drugs. You know,
it's performance anyway. It's you know, nowadays they have cosplay, right? You know, people get into costumes.
I'm a cosplayer. So, yeah.
You know, yeah, there's something. Fun. You're a goblin. You're a dragon. You're a whatever. I don't right. care.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it well, you do it well. That's all there is to it, right? Yeah. So why not? Okay. Anyway, look, we took a lot of time here, and I didn't get to ask you about what happened with the Christmas ornaments. Did you sell a lot of those? I remember you were making Christmas ornaments, right?
Oh, I tried. You know, I am anything but a businessman.
Okay.
And so I tried to make my work financially stable, and I have failed because I was making Christmas ornaments. I've got a whole collection of all sorts of things that I want to make. My primary goal right now is just to relaunch my podcast and put all my eggs into that basket and really just come up with funny, creative content. But, you know, real life gets in the way. My car is in the shop. It's $1,000 I don't have. And so I have to pick up extra shifts at my day job. I keep that private because crazies are out there and they hate me. But, right now I'm just sort of floating along, just taking care of real life. You know, people call me a grifter, and I say, I wish I was a grifter. I wish I had made money off of Lady MAGA.
You can only be a grifter, really, if you're making money. And no offense, but you and I both are not making money, okay?
No.
We're not grifters.
Not. And I actually, to tell you the truth, August 12th is 4 years of Lady MAGA. I really do wish that I didn't carry that sort of holier-than-thou grassroots attitude, because I don't think there's anything wrong with people making money off of their politics. If you're good at something and you're making a profit, especially if you're making a profit off of conservatives who want to expand your voice, I used to sort of look down on people who sold merch or whatever, but I'm hoping to become one of them. And the good news is I have a 4-year proven track record that my heart is in this for the right reasons. But if I want to take off a day of work to film a podcast, I have to make up the money. So, you know, I'll just do what I can. It's up to God. And life is so short. One of my closest friends, his mom died yesterday unexpectedly. And it's just a reminder that all the things we get caught up in, everything's in God's hands. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I try and enjoy life. You know, I'm sober. I always tell people this. I'm sober 6 months and 2 weeks. I had succumbed into the clutches of alcoholism. And the reason I share that is because somebody out there might hear me say it and they might be inspired to get help themselves, because I was always that person who would hear someone like me say that and think, oh, I could never do it. I could never get there. And it was with God. And so I just kind of feel like everything's in God's hands. And if this little window of life right now just means I have to work my day job and be exhausted and poor, maybe I need to, you know, do that. So I trust in God's plan, you know.
I think it'll change, and I think you're gonna find a groove here, and it's gonna work for you because, you know, you're a genuine person. This is too funny. If you guys are not watching this video, I love this. You're flipping the fan back and forth. It's hot in this room too, by the way. But I don't have
the fan. I turned off the fan. My AC is not working. Don't ask me why. And I can't turn on a fan because it'll make noise in the background. But this kind of works. Actually, the fan matches what I'm wearing, so.
No,
I did this on purpose. I wanted to appear glamorous.
it's a great visual. Anyway, you still have if you look on social media, Lady MAGA USA on Twitter, all one word together. That's your ad over there. Instagram and all that too, or?
Twitter and Facebook is my primary platform. It's 53K. That's Lady MAGA USA. So, and then the only other one I really use is Instagram, and that's LMUSA1776, because they've kicked me off 3 times. So my newest one, I'm up to 17,000 followers. We'll see how long it lasts, but it's LMUSA1776. And they can also just visit LadyMAGAUSA.com, and that'll kind of take them to all the fun train stops.
Excellent. And it's really good to talk to you. Look, we have honest conversations. I love this. You know, I can pick your brain a bit because, look, I'm not a gay guy. I don't understand a lot of the things that you're going through and you're confronting, you know, being supposedly part of this alphabet soup. And I would object to it. You know, I would assert my identity, you know, if I was. But then again, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I would just keep my head down. No, I'm just going to be LGBTQ. How many letters we got? I don't know. I don't know how.
No, you're doing a show right now. You would have been like me. You'd be like, wait a minute. Not in my name, honey. Not in my name.
You know? That's one of those things. I do not like it when people try to, you know, well, we're doing this for you. Well, I didn't ask you to.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah. And I identify with that, and I love you for it. And one of these days, you know, I know you're going to do well. So we'll give everybody the links in the show notes and all that stuff. And I appreciate you taking this time with us, Ryan. Again, Ryan Woods. That's actually, you know, your regular name, but Lady MAGA USA, LadyMAGAUSA.com, LMUSA 1776 on Instagram, you said?
Yep.
Uh-huh. I got it right. It's scary. Anyway, and also go on to Facebook. We'll give you the links to all of that in the show notes. And I'm going to let you guys go for tonight and let Ryan go here. I appreciate all of you because, after all, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.
All right. Thank you so much.
Support Chuck Ocelli at Ocelli.com.
There's no money in it, so.
Yeah, that is.
That's the problem.
That's the biggest problem, I think. And, you know, some people would say that, look, you're in an age when you can be independently supported, but quite frankly, I'm on that business model too, and look, I'm not going to complain, but I'm going to complain. Okay, because people want to support you. They love you to death, but honestly.
So if you're listening in, this is a very unsubtle request to support the damn show. And I want you to do this because, you know, the Ocelli Report is one of the few places where Greg Palast can get his stuff out. I mean, you'll still see my bylines in some of these outlets, but nevertheless, I used to be a regular on CNN and on MSDNC, but no more.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold. Silver. The stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.